Comedy Encore. Bringing back the golden age of radio humor. A different show every week, with different stars every week in their greatest performances. Come on up.
Wow.
Come on in. It's Comedy Encore. Tonight, Comedy Encore will bring back a few old jokes and an awful lot of old memories. Remember the weekly battle of wits that starred people like Peter Donald, Senator Ford, and Harry Hirschfield? Well, hang on to your hat, because here we go.
Can you top this? Welcome to another laugh session with Can You Top This? And starring Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
Former Governor of New Jersey, Harold Hoffman.
Hiya.
Senator Ford.
Greetings.
Now, here is your master of ceremonies for Can You Top This, Ward Wilson.
Thank you, Jack Costello. Can You Top This is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing. Everybody's invited to send in a joke, and if your story is told by our master storyteller, Peter Donald, you start with $25. Each time a wit ties or tops you, you lose $5. In addition, if you top all of our wits, you'll receive a recording of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. Laughs are registered on the Can You Top This laugh meter in full view of our studio audience, and in all cases, the decision of our judges is final. Well, fellas, it's a brave breck moon lech nech to lech, I think. So, everybody on this panel ready and willing to go to work?
Ready.
Sure.
All right? Okay, here's the first joke, and this one's submitted by Edward Murphy. Edward Murphy of Brooklyn, New York. And the subject is suggestion. Suggestion. Being married, I imagine you've heard something along this line. And my suggestion to you, Pete, get going.
Yeah, all right. This is about a little Irish friend of mine by the name of Ajax Cassidy. And one day, he walks into a tavern and he says, "Oh, my head, I'm thirsty. Oh, my, I'm so dry. Oh, dear. Oh, I've never been so thirsty in my life." He says, "You know, they say a camel can go 30 days without water. Well, so can I. I'll have a beer, bartender." So the fellow brings over the beer and he drinks it. And he says, "Yeah, I'll have another one, too." Bartender pours another one. He wallops that down. He says, "Hey, one more, if you don't mind." Bartender brings that. He has about five more beers. And he says, "Bartender," he says, "I'd like a word with your proprietor." Well, I said, "Oh, yes, sir. That's him standing right over there by the cash register." He goes over and he says, "Excuse me, young man." He says, "This is something of a rather personal nature, but," he says, "would you mind telling me how many kegs of beer you sell here in a week?" The fellow says, "Yeah, we sell 35 kegs of beer in a week." He says, "35 kegs in a week? Imagine that, 35 kegs of beer." He says, "You know me, boy, I have a suggestion whereby you could sell 75 kegs a week." The fellow says, "Sell 75 kegs of beer instead of 35? How?" He says, "How? When you serve the customers, have the bartender fill up the glasses once in a while."
How much of a head on that one, Pete? 500 was the amount of the get you top this laugh meter. So you allow our three wits a little latitude on this round, although Mr. Murphy does start with 25. How many hands up to start the operations here? Senator?
No.
Harold?
No.
Harry? Well, let's start with the senator this time.
Ole Svengard went to call on his girlfriend, and they sat on the sofa there holding hands for an hour in complete silence. So finally, Ole said, "Helga, will you marry me?" And Helga said, "Yes, Ole, I will." Then another hour of complete silence. So finally she said, "Ole, why don't you say something?" And Ole said, "I think I said too much already."
Well, you set it up to 850 on the laugh meter. That tops Mr. Murphy's 500, so he's reduced financially to $20. And we move over to Harry Hirschfield now.
I'd like to tell you this quick, that President Roosevelt's favorite story, this is on the level, was the one about the hillbilly that was calling on a girl for a year. And finally the father of the girl came to this hillbilly, says, "You've been calling on my daughter now for a year. Are your intentions honorable or dishonorable?" He says, "You mean I got a choice?" But there's an old man dying, And he's nobody can help him. No doctor can help him. Nobody. So finally the son's figured out to get a hypnotist. So they bring in the hypnotist, and the old man is laying there. He don't know what it's all about. And the hypnotist goes to work on him. Moves his hands and bono, bono, and all those things. Yo, tussle and move everything. He's giving it out like this. And slowly the old man's eyelids close. 15 minutes later, the old man's eye opens on the left. And he looks at his son. He says, "Is that crazy dope gone away yet?"
Well, crazy dope or no, Harry, with 800 that time on the Candy Top this last meter. Also tops Mr. Murphy's 500, reducing him cash-wise to $15. And let's get in now with Hal Hoffman.
My story is about another one of Peter Donald's friends, Mrs. Sadie Popovnik. And she goes into the police station, the nearest precinct station, and they refer her to the Missing Persons Bureau because she wants a report that her husband has been missing for 2 days. So the sergeant gets out a pad and he said, "Well, now, Mrs. Popovnik, I would suggest that you give us first a description of your husband." She says, "Oh, a tall man, he's about 6 feet, and he's got beautiful blue eyes, and he's got black wavy hair." And there's a patrolman standing near, and they said, "Now, just a minute, lady, just a minute." He says, "I know your husband. Your husband is a little short, bull-headed, bow-legged shrimp." She says, "Yeah, but who wants him back?"
Get back all right, Harold. 1,000 the amount that time on the Can You Top This Laugh meter. So Mr. Murphy's reduced another $5, bringing him down to a total of $10 on the evening submission of a joke on suggestion.
We carry on with a joke from Florence, Colorado, submitted by Joan Moschetti. And the subject of her joke is information, gentlemen. Information. Pete, this happened over in England. They have those great inns over there, those wonderful old saloons, you know. And they have a lot of atmosphere and those terrific names, the Swan and Crown and the Bull and Bear and the Abbott and Costello and you know, whatever, all these wonderful old inns. And there were two locals, two little cockneys, leaning up against the corner of the public house bar. One fellow puts down his mug of ale.
He says, "Oh, say, Abbott." He says, "Did you hear about what's his name?"
I said, him. Yeah, I heard about him. What about him?"
"Well," he said, "I don't know if you heard what I heard about. What's his name? But what I heard, he returned from wherever he was, you know, and he's gone to that youth thingamajig over at Al, you call it. And he married what's his name's sister. Did you hear about that?"
"Well," he says, "well, yes, as a matter of fact, it's what I did hear in a general way, but this is the first time I heard all the details."
There was 1,000 on the last meter, Pete. 1,000. So here's Mrs. Clayton's position. She has registered 1,000 on the last meter and would like to register $25 in the cash book. Any hands? Harry Hirschel let his hand up first.
First, I heard one I think is up to the minute. Guy gets one of those tax blanks to send in and sign it regarding his estimated tax. So he says to his wife, "I'm going to send it back unsigned." She says, "Can you do that?" He says, "I'll do it. If I have to guess how much I'm going to make, to let him guess who sent it back." There's a bunch of women at a club all afternoon. They play cards and they drink and they tell stories they shouldn't tell and all that kind of stuff. And there's one little dame who always comes in kind of kibitzes. But she doesn't join them. But she's always a calamity Jane, telling of everything that's going to happen. And they finally said, "Listen. We got to get rid of this woman. The next time she comes up, we've got to insult her. Let's all get up and rush out of the room. Leave her alone." So they wait for her. And finally, she comes in this next day. She said, "I hear the United States government is going to take all the lady tramps that smoke and drink, all these lady bums, and they're going to put them on a ship and send them to Patagonia. And with all they got up to run out," she says, "what's your rush? The boat don't leave till Saturday."
Boat left as of now, Harry. You got 1,000 on the last video. You tied Mrs. Clayton's 1,000, and so we chop away as is customary in those instances, $5, giving her now $20. And Fred Hillebrand, is that your hand up there?
Yes, it is.
Go right ahead, my boy.
Here's one that digs me. It sends me solid. It's cool. It's really yummy. Years ago in Pleasure Bound, that was a show played here for a year at the Majestic Theater. Jack Burrell starred, Phil Baker, and a whole big cast. Well, Jack told this story in the show, and I'd like to tell it. Of course, I haven't the Dutch accent. This fellow was in a mental institution, and he's peeking through the fence there when a farmer drives by with a wagon, and the fellow inside says, what do you got there, farmer? And the fellow said, fertilizer. He says, yeah. He says, where are you going with it? He says, down the road to the farm here. He says, what are you going to do with it? He says, going to put it on our strawberries. So the inmate, he started to laugh. He says, look, you better come in here with us. We put sugar and cream on ours.
Well, you butted up the laugh meter, too.
What's up there? That's all I wanted to
know. Yes, sir. You tied Mrs. Clayton to 1,000. We chop away $5. She now has $15. On the other hand, Senator Ford, your hand should be up. You want to go in?
Well, I guess there's nobody left but me. Well, this is a story about a woman. You know, when you can't beat women, if they want to get even with you, it's just too bad. Well, this woman went into a post office, and she went up to a window, and she said to a grouchy-looking clerk, I want a 3-cent stamp. He said, look, lady, can't you read? Right up above this window, it says information. I don't sell stamps. You get the stamps down the hall. So she gave him a dirty look, and of course she didn't give it to him. He had it before she arrived. But anyway, she walked down the hall and bought herself a 3-cent stamp, and she came back to the same window. She said, is this the information window? Said, can't you read the sign up there? Said, all right, then tell me this. If I mail this letter now, will it be in New York tomorrow? He said, yes, it will. She said, that's funny. It's addressed to Indianapolis.
And that's also funny, Senator. Well, inasmuch as all three of you which tied Mrs. Clayton's 1,000, we send her with our very best wishes, $10.
Get on to another subject here. This one submitted by David Dressler of New York City, and this is on the subject of taxi. Taxi. So the flag is up, Peter, and it's in your direction.
Well, it's about my Brooklyn friend, this girl Sadie DeKalb, and apparently this particular day she's in an awful hurry to catch a train or something. So she rushes over to cab, and she says, driver, she says, I want you to get me to Grand Central Station right away. Hurry up. I'm in such a rush, I've got to catch the 20th Century Liniment, and I'm very, very So the fella says, okay, lady, and he throws the flag, and off he goes, and he's trying to get her there, and he's weaving in and out of traffic, and he starts to cheat on a few red lights. And he's making a couple of illegal turns, and all of a sudden, along comes the policeman in the prowl car, pulls him over.
This great big policeman gets out. He says, listen, Buster, he says, do you by any chance know we got traffic regulations in this city? Now I'm going to throw the book at you. Do you know?
And she in the back seat, she says, listen, officer, he says,
quiet, lady. Now, just a minute. This man was endangering your life. And I'm going to tell him. And he starts laying out the taxi driver. He's bawling him out.
And she says, officer, please. He says, now, lady, don't interfere with the law. This man nearly... Now, I'm going to tell him. And he goes on again for about 5 minutes, bawling out the cab driver. She says, officer, for goodness sake. He says, wait a minute, madam. He says, what's the matter with you? I'm bawling this man out because he was endangering your life. I'm protecting you. You don't want to get killed in a taxi accident, do you? She says, no. But I don't want to die broke either. Turn off the meter.
No question on that one, Petey. Is zooming 1,000. So we start Mr. Dressler off with $25 and see what our wits can do with that one. All right, Harry, you're first.
Of course, there are a million taxi ones, but I want to throw this in first. I heard it just the other day. One taxi driver said to another, how do you keep your car so nice and shiny? He said, I keep pushing it through the crowds. But I have a favorite story. There's a husband who's a kind of a wolf. And every night, he would go to a certain cafe, flirt with the gals in there. Then he would take the same taxi cab, it would always be in front of this cafe, to escort her home. So in the cab, he'd make love to this girl and escort her home. Went for weeks this way. then it came his wife's birthday, and of all places she wanted to go to this special cafe, and he couldn't get out of it. So they go to the cafe, he's trusting to luck. He goes into the cafe, and they have some drinks, the wife and he, and she's very gay and everything. Then as they come out to go home, that cab of all cabs is in front, and she wants that cab, and now he can't get away from it because the cabman knows him. So he goes into the cab with his wife, and they're riding, and the wife is getting to an argument with him all of a sudden. She finally starts to punch him in. The cabman turns around and says, "Listen, buddy, you can't win every time. Let's go back and get another dame."
I'm going to credit you with 900. Oh, you got one of those flickeroos, too, but it looked a little suspicious to me, so we give you 900. Bert, we'll call you in second.
Well, Ward, this is the story of a synthetic taxi. You know those cabs they drive through Central Park? This happens to be a true story. Well, they all park along Central Park South, and I have a speaking acquaintance with all of them. Funny characters, you know, the high hat nearly always with the cigar butt. Walking the dog last summer, and an old lady with corrective glasses on, very thick ones, is examining the wheels and then the upholstery, and the cabbie is up there with a cigar looking at her. And presently she looked up and says, "Pardon me, sir, are you the cabbie?" He said, "No, lady, I'm the horse. We're often mistaken for each other."
800 the amount, Mr. Lytell. So, Senator, have you got a good joke that you can tell in about a half a minute?
Yeah.
All right.
There's a little old lady who lives up in my hometown, and she'd never been to New York before, and she got off the train at the Pennsylvania station, got herself a cab, and this driver starts off on two wheels. He's making cushion shots off the parked cars, runs through red lights, and finally she says, "Look here, young man, you drive a little slower. This is the first time I ever rode in a taxi." "Is you got nothing on me, lady? This is the first time I ever drove one."
Just in time. What did you see?
I was waiting for that lady who...
Well, it was 400 on the meter, and none of you wits tied or top, Mr. Dressler, so he gets a prize of $25 plus a recording of Pete telling his story on the air.
Mrs. Charles F. Gossam of Maribel, Wisconsin, gives you your next test, gentlemen. And the subject is trickery. Trickery. So, Pete, prove to us that there's no trickery to get that 1,000, would it?
Okay, Wardy. This is about a woman who had a vacation, and she went down to Rio de Janeiro. Well, she's one of these souvenir hunters, and she was buzzing around buying things and shopping for the souvenirs. And finally, when she got ready to come back, she found that she hadn't got enough money left to pay for the duty, you know, because down there in Rio, the unit of monetary exchange is the peso. And that means you pay so much for this, you can't afford that. So she decides the only thing she can do is sneak some of these souvenirs off the boat. Well, she comes down off the ship over at the pier, and the customs inspector comes over. He says, "All right, lady, you got anything to declare?" She says, "Oh, no, no, nothing at all, nothing." He said, "Well, I don't want to make any personal remarks, madam, but," he says, "there happens to be a tail hanging down under your coat." He says, "You should either wear longer coats or smuggle shorter minks. I don't know which."
"Oh," she says, "that's nothing." She says, "That's an old second-hand fur."
He said, "Second-hand? It looks new to me."
She says, "Oh, no, it isn't new." She says, "After all, the mink wore it for 3 or 4 seasons."
He says, "Now, wait a minute, sister. Don't get fresh with the United States government." He says, "Just because you're being wise, I think I'll look through this trunk."
"Oh," she says, "no, there's nothing in there but wearing apparel. Nothing but wearing apparel." He says, "Wait a minute." And he opens the trunk. Right there in the front, there's two beautiful bottles of fine brandy, worth about $65 a bottle.
He says, "Ha-ha. Madam, you are going to tell me, a representative of the United States government, that these bottles of old brandy are wearing apparel?"
She says, "Why, certainly. Those are my husband's nightcaps."
Good night caps to our three wits if they try to top that one, because it was a 1,000. Oh. Can you top this laugh meter, Pete? You got there. Now let's see what our three wits can do as Mr. Kettner starts out with $25, and we start out tonight with Senator Ford.
Well, talking about trickery, excuse me, the other night at the Lambs, we had a magician's night. Dunninger, Blackstone, all the big magicians were there. Which recalls the magician who years ago worked with a parrot.
And every time he'd make something disappear, the parrot would say, fake, phony. And of course, that would get laughs. So during World War II, he joined a USO unit to entertain the servicemen. And halfway across the Pacific, the ship hit a floating mine and blew up. Well, the magician happened to get a hold of some wreckage, and he held on there. And for 2 days, he held on to this, this spar that was floating around, and the parrot was on his shoulder. For 2 days, nothing was said. Finally, the parrot cocked his head and looked at him. He said, look, Mac, I've been working with you a long time. He said, I know all of your tricks, but this one's got me stumped. What did you do with the ship?
By the same token, what did you do with the meter? But get 1,000 that time, Senator. So you tie Mr. Kettner, but you don't supersede him, of course. And I think Harold Hoffman had his hand up second.
About trickery, it seems that Clancy met O'Brien, and O'Brien was looking very downhearted and discouraged, and Clancy said, what's the matter with you, Mike? He said, what's the matter? He said, I'm having trouble at home, having trouble with me wife. He said, you know, I like to go out nights and have a few beers with the boys. And he said, every time I come home, he says, Mary Ellen just raises the devil with me. Once or twice she bait me up. And he says, I don't know what to do. I'm leading a dog's life. He says, well, what you got to do is resort to a little trickery. He said, no, I'll tell you what I do. I like to go out, too, and drink and have some fun with the boys. But he said, I'll tell you what I do. He says, I fool Mag. He says, when I come home, he says, when I come in the house, no matter what time of night it is, down at the foot of the stairs, he says, I take off my shoes, I hold them in my hand, I take off all my clothes, and I hang them over my arm, I go upstairs, and I jump quick in bed, and if it should disturb Margaret a little bit and she wakes up, she thinks I've been there for a long while, do you see? He says, you got to use a little trickery like that if you want to get along with your wife. He said, it's a good idea. I'll try it. So about a week later, Clancy again met O'Brien. Still is looking very dejected. He said, what's the matter? He said, a fine friend you are of mine. Well, he said, did you try the trick I took? He says, I tried it, yeah. He said, you know, I went way downtown to McSorley's. I had a few ales. He said, then after that, he says, I went over to O'Hara's saloon. He said, after McSorley's had closed, and he said, I had a few shots with the boys. And he said, I remembered what you told me. He says, so when I started for home uptown, he says, I did just what you told me. At the foot of the stairs, I stopped. He says, I took off all my clothes, hung them over my arms. I took off my shoes, held them in my hand. He says, and I sneaked very quietly up to the step of the stairs. And he says, a gust of the wind hit me. And what do you think? He said, I was coming out of the 42nd Street subway station.
Paid that $1,000, Harold. $950 was the amount that time. And we still have to hear from Harry Hirschfield, Miss.
Well, Fred Stone, formerly of Montgomery and Stone, probably one of the most famous beloved actors in the world, and I hope he's listening in because he gave me this story. Finnegan and Murphy go out on a hunting trip for big game. So they get out into hunting for this big game, and as soon as they got out there, a lion started towards them. They got so frightened, they dropped all their ammunition. They started to run. And Finnegan says to Murphy, he says, we got to fool him. I'll run up on a tree and you go into a cave. We got to upset him. So one ran up a tree and the other ran in the cave. But the lion started for the guy in the cave, and he got to the entrance of the cave, and the lion stopped. Lion looked a little while, turned around, and walked away. As soon as he started to walk away, Murphy came out of the cave. The lion saw him, turned around, and started for him again. Again he ran in the cave. Soon as the lion got enough of it, he walked away. Soon as he got away again, out came Murphy again. The lion started again for him, came to the entrance, turned around, walked again, and again Murphy came out. And finally Finnegan said, the darn fool, why don't you let him get away a while before coming out? He says, I gotta come out, there's a tiger inside.
Solid 1,000 that time, Harry, and can you top this laugh meter? So the net result is Mr. Kettner will be the recipient of $15 from the panel.
And that brings to a close tonight's session of Can You Top This?
Well, we certainly hope you enjoyed hearing Can You Top This once again. And we also hope you'll join us again next Sunday evening for...
And now we invite you to meet Corliss Archer, America's teenage sweetheart, starring Janet Waldo.